Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us through this passage, that you would feed us by your word and by your spirit. Do not leave us unchanged, but come by your spirit and make us more like Jesus. Amen. It's been 50 days since the Passover, 50 days since the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus. Those 50 days had begun with despair, but had ended in joy as the risen Lord Jesus began to appear to his disciples. Jesus gives them proof that he truly is alive. He's the real deal. He also begins to teach them that his rule and reign, that is, his saving death, his life-giving resurrection, his lead, his way of living, is not simply for the Jews or for Jerusalem, but that his rule and his reign, his saving death, his life-giving resurrection, his lead, his way of living, is for their historic enemies, the Samaritans, and indeed for the whole of the Gentile world. And these 120 disciples, these were to be the ones who were to break through these historic boundaries and finally fulfill the promise made to Abraham, that through Abraham's descendant, Jesus, and Abraham's descendants, the disciples, every nation on earth would be blessed. But for this next stage in God's saving plan for planet Earth, human strength and wisdom will not be enough. So the disciples must wait to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus who will lead, teach, and empower them as they go out. And so, after his ascension, the disciples return to Jerusalem and wait in prayer-filled anticipation. And so at the harvest festival of Pentecost, when the first signs of harvest were being brought into the temple, all 120 disciples are gathered together in the temple's fringe areas, when suddenly and finally, with a deafening sound and with flaming tongues of fire, the longed-for Holy Spirit comes roaring through the temple precincts, roaring down through the ages, and fills the disciples, men and women, young and old, low and high. And as they are filled, a miracle happens. The 120 disciples, the majority from Galilee, the majority uneducated, begin to declare God's wonders in the known languages of that day. The barrier of human language, which has divided human beings from the days of the Tower of Babel, has now been overcome, filling the temple courts with praise. A crowd gathers, initially attracted by the noise, only to be amazed by what they are hearing and seeing. But what does it all mean? What is the significance of these languages? And in answer to their questions, a fisherman from Galilee steps forward to speak. What explanation does Peter give the crowd that have gathered that day? Here's the first thing that Peter says: the Holy Spirit has come in fullness. The Holy Spirit has come in fullness. That's verses 17 to 21. Isn't it interesting that to explain the sights and sounds and miracles of Pentecost Sunday, Peter reaches for his Old Testament, and he turns initially to the prophet Joel, who had spoken of a day when the Holy Spirit would no longer be limited to a special few, but that the Holy Spirit would fill each and every one of God's people, regardless of gender, age, status and ethnic background. And there, standing before this confused crowd, Joel's prophecy is being embodied in the first 120 disciples. There's a small but very interesting detail in the previous chapter, Acts chapter 1. We find Luke giving us a list of those present in the upper room, those who are in the upper room praying in anticipation for the Holy Spirit. Now, why does Luke give us an attendance list? Well, maybe one of the reasons is to tell us that there were more than simply the apostles present. In fact, Luke especially wants us to know that there were women present among the 120. Luke wants us to know that when the Spirit comes, he's not only filling the apostles, but he's filling all of the disciples, all 120, including the women. You see, Joel's prophecy is being fulfilled. And as if to emphasize this at the beginning of chapter 2, Luke reminds us that the disciples were all together in one place. Everyone is there. And then at the end of chapter 2, he will tell us, verse 39, that the gift of the Spirit is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. You see, Joel's prophecy is being fulfilled. You might want to pause for a moment and place your hand on your chest and say, "The Holy Spirit is for me. I am included. The Holy Spirit is for me. No disciple is left out." Now, if the Holy Spirit has come in fullness, how are we to understand this filling? What is going on inside these disciples? The famous Tom Wright says this: Pentecost is the moment when the presence of Jesus alongside his disciples is now the presence of Jesus within his disciples. The Holy Spirit is none other than the Spirit of Jesus. The Jesus who lived among the disciples for 3 years is now living within them by his Spirit. Hands up if your name is Christopher. Well, the name Christopher literally means Christ carrier. And on Pentecost Sunday, all of us became Christ carriers. And you know what? That has got to make a difference, doesn't it? Imagine the difference it will make to your Monday morning if we really got hold of this. Let me tell you about a woman called Kelly Zhu. Kelly Zhu. Kelly worked for a small organisation in central London, and she engaged a cleaning company on behalf of her on behalf of the organisation she worked for called Spotless. Brilliant name for a cleaning company. And this cleaning company paid their cleaners £6.50 at the time. £6.50. Most of the people working for this company, this cleaning company, were from overseas. Now, the London living wage at that point in time was significantly higher. And so Kelly went to her director of operations and asked if they could arrange to pay their cleaner the London living wage, £9.15. About a 40% increase in what this cleaner was getting. Now, I wonder what you would have said if you were the director of operations. A 40% increase. Well, it was only 4 to 6 hours a week. It added up to £800 a year. And the director said, yes. You see, as Christ carriers, as people filled with the Spirit of Jesus, we carry his presence into work with us every Monday morning. And that means that we begin to see people we work for and with differently, even the cleaners. Here's a question. How much are your cleaners paid where you work? Do you know? Shouldn't you know? We carry the Spirit of Jesus into our places of worship, of work, which are places of worship. So filled with the Spirit, that's the first thing Peter wants us to know, that the Holy Spirit has come in fullness and filled the disciples. Here's the second thing. The day of the Lord is dawning. A new day is dawning, the day of the Lord. I wonder, have you noticed or did you notice the minor chord which was sounded in verses 30 to 31? I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, why that quotation? Well, with the coming of the Holy Spirit comes a sign that God is working his purposes out. The plan that God is not going to leave a broken, stuttering planet Earth to continue to be broken and stuttering, but that one day will come, the day of the Lord, when evil will be eradicated and a new heaven and a new earth will be ushered in. Peter wants us to know that the coming of the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost Sunday is a sign that God's plans are moving forward, that the coming of the Spirit is a huge step towards that great day. Now, can I encourage you not to tune out that minor chord? Don't resist the idea of the day of the Lord. The very fact that Jesus will return as the judge of all the earth, the very fact that I will give an account, that very fact gives meaning and value to every word that I speak, every decision that I take, every action that I invest in. You and I, we live in this in-between period between the coming of the Holy Spirit and Christ's return as judge. It's a period of opportunity. Peter says, when all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We experience in our day both the anticipation, the excitement of the new heaven and earth, but also the pain of living in this broken, stuttering world. We experience the groaning of the Spirit for what is not yet, but will come. Being filled with the Spirit is to be an essential part of God's ongoing purpose for our world. It's not an optional extra, nor is it for a special few. To be filled with the Spirit is to be a living sign of the new creation that's coming. So, be filled afresh today by the Holy Spirit and be a living sign of the new creation that is coming. So for those of us who are passionate about creation care, this passage says to us today, be filled with the Spirit. For those of us who are passionate about issues of justice, this passage says to us today, be filled with the Spirit. For those of us who are passionate about the poor and feeding the hungry, this passage says to us today, be filled with the Spirit. For those of us who are passionate about evangelism and seeing the lost brought home, this passage says to us today, be filled with the Holy Spirit. For those of us who are passionate about the Scriptures and about teaching the Bible and about teaching Bible truth and theology, this passage says to us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who are teachers and doctors and nurses, for those of us who are lawyers, those of us who lead teams, those of us who buy milk and cocoa powder, those of us who are mothers at homes and fathers at homes, those of us who are neighbours, this passage says to us today, guess what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit and be a sign of the new creation that is coming. And not just a sign, but a person through whom this new creation comes now on earth as it is in heaven. A woman called Sophie got hold of this truth, and it began to shape how she worked. Sophie is a hairdresser, and she began to ask herself the question, what difference to my job would it make if I got hold of this truth that I am called to be a sign of the new creation that's coming? And to cut a long story short, please forgive the pun, she decided that what she could do was this, that she could pray for every person whose hair she was perming, cutting, washing, although perhaps not in that order. She wanted to be a sign of the new creation coming. What would it mean for you to be a sign of this new creation coming, where you're working, where you're living, where the Lord has planted you? Finally, as Peter explains the amazing sights and sounds of that first Pentecost Sunday, he wants to remind us of the reassurance of God's amazing grace. The Holy Spirit has come in fullness. The day of the Lord is dawning. And here, the Holy Spirit, finally, is a sign of reassurance. The reassurance that God has not given up on us. Now, I want you to picture this. They're standing before Peter in the crowd. That crowd that has gathered that day, they've heard the noises and the sounds of the coming of the Holy Spirit. They have seen disciples speaking in languages that they haven't learnt. In that crowd gathered that day, there would have been people present when Jesus had been arrested, tried, crucified. Maybe in the temple that day, there were gathered in that crowd some of the people who had gone to arrest Jesus, who maybe had gathered in that crowd that stood before Pilate and shouted, crucify him, who maybe followed Jesus and the cross to Golgotha, who stood and watched him die. And Peter says, verse 22, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and forethought, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Now just imagine this. If they had tried to kill the very one who God had declared as Lord and Christ, what now? If they had been the ones who had shouted crucify, what now? No wonder they are cut to the heart and they cry out, what shall we do? Is it too late? If the Spirit's coming is a sign that the dreadful day of the Lord is upon them, are they condemned for what they have done to Jesus? And the answer is no. For the coming of the Spirit is a sign that God's amazing grace is still available, that forgiveness of sins is still possible, even to those who killed Jesus. No wonder 3,000 flocked forward that day in repentance and faith. And maybe you're listening to this and you're asking yourself the question, can I be forgiven? You know your past. And perhaps your past continues to seep and bleed into your presence. And you are wondering, can you be forgiven? Well, Pentecost Sunday, the events of Pentecost Sunday, say to you today that if those who had called for Christ's death can be forgiven, then so can you and so can I. God's grace reaches out to you and to me today, and that invitation to be forgiven is offered to all of us. Please receive it. Please believe today that you can be forgiven, that your sins can be dealt with, and that you can know peace with God this day. Last Sunday night, during the live service at St. Peter's Chateau Day, we had a guest preacher. His name is Paul Cowley, and Paul Cowley has recently written a book called Thief, Prisoner, Soldier, Priest. It's his autobiography. And the reason that it's known as Thief, Prisoner, Soldier, Priest is because that's exactly the story of Paul Cowley's life. He was a thief. He was imprisoned, became a soldier, and after becoming a soldier, was invited onto an Alpha course. And through that Alpha course, discovered the amazing forgiving grace and love of God. Now, in his book, he describes his life in some detail and in considerable vulnerability. But Paul Cowley and Paul Cowley's life is a testimony to the fact that we live in a time of mercy and grace and forgiveness. So on this Pentecost Sunday, may you and I recommit ourselves to being carriers of Christ's presence, filled with the Spirit of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, carrying the presence of Jesus into Monday morning and beyond. On this Pentecost Sunday, may we be reminded that we are agents of the new creation, not just signs, but conduits, that this broken and stuttering world is not the final word. And may each of us know today in a real and personal way that God's mercy and grace is towards us, irrespective of our past. And so may our prayer today be, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fill me once again. Amen.